Mad Radio on Sports Radio 610. Mike Meltzer is taking a law exam, so I'm Paul Gallant leading things. Seth Payne is to my left. Hey, guys.
We should have our listeners go down and heckle him.
Yes.
Heckle. Go down to whatever law school hall there is down there and just stand outside one of the windows and start heckling people.
You're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're terrible. Oh.
He's, man, he was all stressed out yesterday.
He really was.
I found it's school. I don't get this is the problem. I get all these people whine and gripe about how hard law school is. And I have no sympathy for them because if you're smart enough to get into law school, it's no different than going to regular college. The only difference is, from what I can tell, is that there are a lot of smart people that get into law school who didn't really have to work all that hard to do well in undergraduate. So then all of a sudden now they actually have to read all the books and everything and they can't BS their way through it. And that's a big comeuppance for them.
Yeah.
So sorry about it. Sorry. Like now you have to be like normal students that actually have to work and study a little bit.
Ooh, I'm a lawyer. I know, and it's annoying. You're going to make tons of money if you do well when you get out of law school, assuming you do well again. So, yeah, a little frustrating on that front. And go and heckle Mike. Find him. Find him. You will be able to find him. I'm sure you can if you really do your homework. Hey, do you like Twin Peaks? Well, the Triple Threat's at Twin Peaks to get your football weekend started. They're going to be at the one on 290 with Sean Rich and Clint Sterner, that beautiful voice of his, along with the Twin Peaks girls. We will watch the games, and you'll have a chance to win an autographed football, Twin Peaks gift cards, and Bud Light cornhole boards. How about that? Twin Peaks and Sports Radio 610 every Thursday with the Triple Threat. So make sure you check that out later this afternoon. A couple of texts in the DWIattorney.com text line as far as Indianapolis Colts that we can focus our rage and our hate on.
Who should we boo? Who should we collectively boo? I was saying it should be somebody that it would catch him by surprise. We've had a few suggestions for Frank Reich. That's not going to catch him by surprise.
Exactly.
There are a lot of angry people. If there's anybody 35 years old or up booing Frank Reich, you know exactly why you're booing Frank Reich.
And how many opportunities do you get to boo a head coach in the middle of a game outside of when maybe the camera zoomed in on them and they're freaking out and are about to throw a challenge flag or they're arguing with the ref? That is pretty much it as you're going to get for an opportunity.
I've got it for you right here. You know, it needs to happen.
What's that?
Just like we saw last week with Adam Thielen versus Bill Belichick. You need either DeAndre Hopkins and Frank Reich to get into it, or this would be the best ever, is J.J. Watt and Frank Reich getting into it. If Frank Reich gets angry at something and steps out on the field to argue with the officials and J.J. Watt goes over and they start having words. The problem is, I'm sorry, Houston, I don't want to be saying this. Frank Reich he seems like a really nice guy.
Nope.
Like, he seems
horrible
like a pretty
person.
Understated dude. Which makes it even that much more infuriating.
Know your place, backup. You're not supposed to beat the Houston Oilers when they're up 35-3 on you.
I never thought about the fact that Kelly had already been here in the USFL, and that I wonder how much worse it would have felt if it was Jim Kelly doing it. If it would have felt like an Et Tu Brute type of thing. One of the reasons he came to the USFL originally, if I remember correctly, was that he had been originally drafted by Buffalo, and he was like, I'm coming from Miami. Hell no, I'm not going to Buffalo. He didn't want to play in Buffalo. That's the strange thing about him being such a mainstay up there.
Would he have been pleasantly surprised by Buffalo? Because I think he ultimately ended up liking Buffalo, but I think that largely had to do with the fact that the Bills were very successful during his time there.
Yeah, he's a legend up there. I don't know. I think that was one of the last old school NFL teams where like they partied hard together, like in extreme fashion, and they probably were able to fly under the radar a little more easily in Buffalo than they could have elsewhere. But it also probably forged. It's kind of like a Green Bay effect where it's not like a huge nightlife or anything. It kind of forces guys into each other's
stuck.
Arms. Yeah, like you're like, well, it's there's 8 feet of snow on the ground. Let's just go to Kelly's basement and drink.
So yesterday we heard from Janice Burke, who is the CEO of the Houston Sports Authority, about the XFL finally coming to Houston. Here she is.
We couldn't have a better partner in the University of Houston. They have been passionate about this from the onset of the bid, and so it's really exciting to have them here today in the audience to hear this news with us. I know that in Houston we are mourning the loss of an iconic man today. He was a huge sports fan. We will miss him dearly, but I can't help but think he's looking down from heaven, and he's pleased to hear this news.
Seth Payne, do you think George H.W. Bush would watch the XFL?
Oh, he'd be all about it.
You think so?
A younger, of course he would. He would, I think he would glom right onto it.
Do you think George H.W. Bush would go to a game wearing a He Hate Me jersey?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a different XFL. I'm a little disappointed. in that it's not going to, I don't think it's going to have that minor league baseball feel to it, except it was like X-rated minor league baseball the first time. I think the fact that Oliver Luck, who we'll be talking to in an hour or so.
I think at 8:28 we've got him on.
At 8:28 we've got Oliver Luck on. The fact that they hired him was almost, I think, just like the clear indicator that, hey, we want you to take this league seriously. I like the fact that they're putting it in major cities instead
Houston,
of a
Dallas,
bunch of like, yeah.
LA, New York, Seattle, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, and DC.
And St. Louis makes a whole lot of sense because obviously there's a market there. I think that's one of the things they learned from the USFL. Most of the teams that did well in attendance are teams that either had NFL teams there already or would in the future, like Jacksonville, but Tampa had really good attendance. Houston did really, Houston was like middle of the road in USFL attendance. So instead of like saying, hey, we'll go to Tulsa and Birmingham and Reno.
Right.
Reno would have been fun. Reno would have been a lot of
cheap
fun.
Cheap Vegas.
For all the things that are legal
have
in
you,
Reno.
Have you ever been to Reno?
No, no.
I have not been to Reno either, but I've heard that it's like basically cheap Vegas and a little bit saltier.
I've watched Reno 911 a lot.
Great show.
Yeah.
One of the more underrated TV shows of the last 20 years.
You can make a...
got buried on Comedy Central.
You make a Lieutenant Dangle joke, and like there's like one out of 50 people in the room that get it, but then they love you for it.
Have you ever worn short shorts like Lieutenant Dangle in public?
I did because I dressed up like Will Ferrell in the basketball movie there, the one where he played the expansion league.
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder, yeah. I dressed up like him one
day. Oh, wait, not Tropic Thunder. My
bad. No, not Tropic Thunder at all.
Geez, Tropic Thunder is the movie with Robert Downey Jr. They play the Flint Tropics, that's the team,
yeah.
And Semi-Pro.
Semi-Pro. I dressed up as him in Semi-Pro. It's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable feeling.
I mean,
I stuffed my crotch, but but it was still uncomfortable. Like, that was physically uncomfortable.
People, I can't believe that the short thing was a thing for such a long time, like 70s and the early 80s. And I'm guessing that dated you just a little bit, right? The short phase where guys were walking about with short shorts?
Because it was from the time Jordan brought in longer shorts. I don't have that many embarrassing photos from my adolescence wearing short shorts. It was like, by the time I was in junior high, I think longer shorts
That's
were already the deal. I look at some of those old pictures and like, honestly, look, I've been in enough locker rooms. I don't know how those shorts are anatomically possible. Like, I don't know. There's at least like one guy on every team where you're like, this, what?
Hey, what's that hanging? Oh,
that's not, those shorts can't possibly, that's why jock straps existed. Now guys just wear the spandex because it's not as big a deal.
There are a couple of jobs, I guess, that are still available in the XFL.
There's a bunch of them.
They haven't been able to check them all off of the list. Most of them, it seems, like are in the corporate side of things. They're looking
They're looking for players and coaches too.
Players and
when you go to the XFL.com website, there are positions open like for team executives in every single market. There's human resources positions. Marketing is where I think you'd be good. So if you look at Houston, the team director of communications and media relations is team director and communications and media relations are both open and available.
Okay.
So like, I guess you can go to the website and apply to be somebody working for the XFL. Somebody suggested to me yesterday that, Seth, you need to be involved in this XFL team. And I said, look, I can barely handle my duties at Sports Radio 610. I can't do both.
You get deceptively fast. You got the Mad Radio program. Yeah, that's a lot.
I know. And well, and if I were to leave this career for one in football, like that's an all consuming thing. I'd have no control over my hours. I'd have to field calls at 2 a.m. from somebody that just got arrested down on Bissonnette. I don't want to do it.
Here's what they need to do. They need to have an open tryout, because I know that there are a lot of people that listen to this program that aren't particularly fond of me, and don't you want to see me out there trying to play football against people that actually have been playing football for their whole lives that are good? Don't you want to see me get absolutely blown to smithereens? I'll be honest. I've said this once. I'll say it again. I really want to get just crushed by some NFL style player or someone that is a semi-pro kind of football player, just to feel how it feels with pads on.
The Texans did have an open tryout. It wasn't an open tryout, but they had a tryout for a bunch of guys that hadn't been on teams for a while, guys that had been college players, whatever. There was by invitation, but they ended up getting Corey Sears out of that. Corey Sears, a lot of you remember, was a defensive end that played for us for, I think, the first 4 years and was really good and solid. He was just sitting out on the doing nothing. So there is, I don't know about open, I bet there will be an open combine type of thing, though.
Okay.
Like where you just go and run your 40.
We need that to happen. We will get video of it if it does happen.